Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
Well, I know that it has been an unmentionable, indescribable year or two. Dung, if you can bring me into the sermon slides, please. I can't believe it's been this long. It's been this year that the Bernie Sanders at the inauguration little meme came about. Baby Yoda with his spatchy spatch there. I mean, the lady yelling at Kat continues on. It has been for more than 1 year, but I particularly like it whenever it is applied to various generations and Gen X just stand back watching. The red flag, of course, became a popular way of expressing no way. So this pineapple on pizza red flag, I don't agree with it. I'm going to put it out there. It's 10:30 at night. I like pineapple on pizza. You can fight me later. This cat, does anyone know where this white cat with the big eyes, what that's about? That's right. This is the lawyer who is filing some charges and who cannot get the cat filter off his Zoom and says to the judge, "I assure you, I am not a cat." And he wants to just keep going with the hearing. These are some of the things that have made this year a little more smileable. What I also found, this is a slightly older cartoon, but emotional support animals are on the rise. And so I loved this one with the beware of the emotional support dog. Not that he's going to maul you, but for those listening online, don't tell me you're okay. You're not okay. I can smell the hurt inside you. Don't walk away. Talk to me. This is the danger of walking past an emotional support dog. It resonated with me, though, because I feel that sometimes the church is a bit like that dog. You walk past and the minister says, "No, no, don't tell me you're okay. You're not okay. You're terrible. Think about how awful you are. Listen to me." It could be just me, but that is how I think the church is often perceived. Everybody is trying to just live their lives, and the church is saying, "You know, you're pretty awful. You really need a savior." It's tough because the scriptures tell us that there is some sort of reality in the call to say, "You're walking in darkness." But if you're anything like me, you avoid that thought with every fiber of your being. I think that when confronted with the idea that we may be walking in darkness, as the scripture told us today, written hundreds of years, more than 600 years before Christ, the people walking in darkness, and that just before it, it says, they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. The scriptures tell us that we're walking in darkness, and yet, if you're anything like me, you avoid that thought at all costs because, I think, you fear that it will lead you into unbalanced life, or unbelieving life. Unbalanced life. We don't need to be told there's hard stuff in the world. Do we need a support animal barking at us? No, we know it's tough. In fact, we're confronted with it every day. And I don't need to say on the front of the newspaper. I say on the little ping, ping, ping that comes up on your whatever news app you like to use. Just to keep you awake, whatever was going on there. But we fear that if we actually engage with the idea that the world is really quite deeply broken, that we will not be able to hold ourselves together. I've been doing a course that requires me to do a lot of journaling, and I think to myself, how do you expect me to go deep into my feelings when I need to work, be a mum, be a wife? Like, where is this time for me to look into the darkness? Most of us feel that we know it's there, but we're doing our very best just to hold it off. If we look into the darkness, we'll become unbalanced. Life will become unworkable. But there might be another fear. If we really look into the darkness and we acknowledge that we are a people walking in darkness, then belief in a good God may be very hard. Not that we're just going to be unbalanced in floods of tears, but that we might be unbelieving. That we look around the world and we say, well, God says he is with us. God is supposed to be good. Why is there so much darkness? And not simply outside of the church, but in it as well. Not simply outside my Christian family, but in it as well. And so we hold it off. And we say, I can't think about that. I'm going to have, I've heard the phrase, Christian Botox, just always smiling, never thinking. Does this look good? Never thinking about those deep questions that arise from the presence of evil and suffering in the world. And yet if we don't face them, we're not actually acknowledging the world in which we live and the world to which Jesus came. And so we are called not to be unbalanced, not to be unbelieving, but I think to be, and if I can get you to move the slide on for me, Dung, I think I've out of it for a bit, thank you. But as we walk, to move into being unblinded. You see, I was standing outside on my deck the other night looking up at the stars, and the outside light was on and it was shining in my eyes, and I thought, I actually need to turn that off. I need to get away from, and you and I know it, you know, you need to get away from the light pollution, the distractions of the light around you to really be able to see in the dark. And so even though it sounds like the church is again saying, tell me all your darkness, the truth is that to really be unblinded, you need to acknowledge that the people are walking in darkness. The context of Isaiah chapter 9 is that the people whom God was shaping to be his kind of light to the world, that he'd given his revelation in the law and the prophets, wanting them to live justly with correct worship to him, had turned away and were living lives that looked no different to anyone around them, and in fact were seeking wisdom, revelation, and guidance everywhere but God. And so the description that God has for these people, that Isaiah has for these people, is that having turned away from what God had given them, they were no longer able to be the light, and in fact, they were walking in darkness. But if they acknowledged their position, if they said, I can hear the prophets telling us, but I'm not going to fight it off for fear of being unbalanced or unbelieving. If I can acknowledge that without God I am walking in darkness, then I am unblinded finally to see God's great light. So the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And what is this light? It is a child to be born in the future who has a name with four titles that show us exactly why he is the light. Wonderful Counselor. I said to us that that the nation had turned away from God's revelation, and in chapter 8 of Isaiah, the one that comes before chapter 9, that's how numbers work. Now it's getting close to 11 o'clock. Sometimes we need a reminder. The people are living in fear, calling many things conspiracies. Do not call conspiracy everything this people calls a conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear. Do not dread it. The people are turning to, looking for instruction with mediums and oracles instead of turning to God. They've rejected the gently flowing waters of God's revelation. When someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? If anyone does not speak according to this word of God, they have no light of dawn. And so into this darkness, into this time where everybody is looking absolutely everywhere else but God for revelation, comes the wonderful Counselor. The one who expresses in his teaching and his actions the very heart and will and mind of God. That he, in his speaking, tells us how to live. That he, in his way he relates to both those who are committing injustice and those who are marginalized, shows us, reveals to us so much about what we, including us religious folks, have got wrong about life and about God. The wonderful Counselor brings wisdom. The second title is Mighty God. And it is incredible to us that a baby would be called that, especially in Old Testament times. Like, we might think, oh, well, in the New Testament, people understood there was a Trinity and Jesus was here. This is mind-blowing. For a people who said, God is one, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one, And yet a baby is to be born who is called Mighty God. I think here maybe Isaiah himself had no idea what that would look like. That a child would be born who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, overshadowing a human woman, so that the child would be both God and human, so that God himself would do what was necessary, but a human being would take what was necessary and restart the human race. Mighty God, connecting us to our Creator as our Creator comes to us. And thirdly, Everlasting Father. So much of our darkness is about our fear of provision and aloneness. Will I have what I need? Am I enough? Will I be left alone when I am hurting? I am alone. And this child is called Everlasting Father. And not a messed up dad, like so many of us have experienced, or just a mixed up dad. You can have a dad who's awesome, but has also done stuff that has kind of broken you. It's just the way humanity is. But not this father. This father is the one who never leaves. This father is the one whose comfort and provision and presence is there forever. And finally, Prince of Peace. Now, in Isaiah's time, peace was needed. There was war. There was national violence. And certainly in our time, peace is needed. There is war. There is national and international violence. But the Prince of Peace primarily speaks into relationship. You can endure almost anything if you know you are loved and walking in good, right relationship with another person. Maybe it's a parent, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a partner, maybe it's a child. But things can be going so great for you, and yet where there is a relationship that has broken down, it just weighs on everything. Your tummy's just always a bit funny. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's a parent. This relational aspect to peace is exactly what the angels are proclaiming in Luke 2. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom God's favor rests. Jesus not only came to show us the ways of peace with one another and to give us the provision as Mighty God and Everlasting Father to see that transformation in relationships and reconciliation and restoration, but Jesus came to give us peace in our relationship with God himself. Because that deepest darkness is actually about how we've treated God and how we've walked or not walked with him. How we've lived in this world accepting his gifts and not acknowledging the giver of all good things. How every time we have acted against another human being in word or deed, or as we sometimes say in our prayers, in what we have failed to do, we've actually transgressed against someone made in the image of God. That God says, I made that person. That hurts me. And so the relationship that needs peace most of all is our relationship with our Creator God. And so the gift that comes into the darkness is the light of life with God, restored, reconciled through a baby who would be these things, but who on the cross and in his resurrection would give these things to us. If you drive around Doncaster much at the moment, I don't know, is the government trying to spend, like, what is going on? Almost every single road is full of, I mean, I'm in Eltham, right? And so if you know out that way at the moment, it is, they're trying to change everything all at once. And I feel like I see these signs. Or plan your journey. That's a very polite way of saying good luck. Friends, we do need to face the fact that without God, we walk in darkness. And yet, we don't actually need to leave here with the woo, woo, woo of the emotional support animal in our ears. We actually need to hear that the light has come, that an alternate route is actually possible and given to us right now. A light has dawned. A child is born. The zeal of the Lord Almighty has accomplished this. So Jesus said these words for those who want to walk off that path of darkness and into his path of light. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, wonderful Counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, we seek you now, even though many of us know you already. We seek you deeper, more real, without distraction, turning off the other fake lights, so that we would see you. Tonight, Lord, we do face that darkness, but we live in the light. Lord, would you, by your Holy Spirit, help each one of us to take that step onto the alternate route tonight? To take a breath and say, I see what I've done and what I need. And I thank you, Jesus, that you are and have made me the light. Amen.